If you go to see the Batman movie, The Dark Knight Rises, there's now a statement from director Christopher Nolan posted right at the open of the film, expressing sorrow for that terrible shooting that happened at a screening of his movie last week. Roger Ebert, writing in the New York Times, says he's not sure there is a link between movies and gun violence, that he doesn't know if the alleged shooter, James Holmes, cared about Batman. He suspects he did care about the publicity that the movie opening would bring. But what if Holmes did care about Batman deeply? Movie critic Ty Burr explores that question in a provocative piece in the Boston Globe in which he asks, maybe it's time to have a discussion about an entertainment culture that excels at selling violent power fantasies. Ty joins us in the studio, and we just want to begin, Ty, where you do in your piece. You want to make something very clear about what you are not saying here.
Right. I'm saying we should not blame the movie. I'm saying we should not blame the director. We shouldn't blame Christian Bale. We shouldn't blame anybody except the guy who did this and the sickness in his head. That said, I think there's a discussion to be had, especially if it comes out that he was deeply attached to this particular fantasy property. I think there's a discussion that deserves to be had about the way that Hollywood and the entertainment industry as a whole is really, really, really good at selling violent, apocalyptic power fantasies to people who feel like they don't have power.
Yeah, you're right. This is a film that has to be perfect for the world to make any sense at all to certain people. What do you mean by that?
The attachment to this movie, this property, by a cohort of young people in their teens and their 20s, maybe into their 30s, the feeling that this was not just a movie, but something that reflected the turmoil of their lives in a very deeply, deeply personal way.
An actual lodestone, actually, for some young people. You met somebody back in 2008 who compared the series and the whole idea of Batman and that movie in particular to actual world events.
Oh, yeah. No, he said it was for his generation what the JFK assassination and the Challenger disaster were for their generations, at this moment that the generation could define themselves through and rally around. And this was not a crazed fanboy. This was like, you know, a college kid I met at an event who was remarkably representative of his generation. And I think he was speaking sincerely. And I don't think he was realizing that he was comparing a movie to the death of an actual person. And I think he meant what he said, and that it is true for a lot of people. This movie feels defining.
Why?
This movie and this project, the Dark Knight project. Because, for one thing, they're really well made. Christopher Nolan is a hell of a film director. And they feel operatic. That's what I keep coming back to. They're epic. They're big. They take your feelings, your little puny feelings, and your doubts and fears, and they blow them up to mammoth IMAX size in a way that feels like your feelings are being reflected. You know, and I don't want to read too much into, you know, the Batman as a Bible for people to live their lives. No, that's ridiculous. It's a movie, but it is so powerful. It stirs up so much emotions that it feels, in a weird way, I think for a lot of people, more real than anything in their lives.
Well, you know, what are you saying about the movie industry, Ty Burr? You know, you started by talking about how they've really figured out how to exploit those who feel powerless. But it's bottom line entertainment.
So. Of course it's entertainment. Of course it's entertainment. It's entertainment that takes us away from our lives. And I think if you are the right kind of person, that entertainment that takes you away from your life, your dull life, if you feel it's dull, is so enchanting, so enrapturing that you want to spend all your life there. And in fact, guess what? That's possible. That's possible with movies, with video games, with all the stuff on our screens, the screens we see everywhere, the screens we carry with us. You can spend your life in what I call the Omniverse, which is this alternate reality. You can spend your life in there, and that the Omniverse will tell you that you're special, that you can be the hero. And
that you matter.
That you matter, that you're special. And when you look away from the screen, sometimes you come to face the fact that, well, no, you're not special, or if you are special, you need to make yourself special in a way that matters to you.
Well, you have to look at yourself as opposed to looking at yourself reflected from these characters on the screen.
Absolutely. You know, I think, but I don't want to point fingers and say, these things must be banned, we must do something. I think that's ridiculous. You cannot legislate away our incredibly successful, in both the commercial and psychological terms, world of fantasy that we've built. I think what we have to do is start putting a greater value on reality.
Well, you know, a lot of people who are, you know, trying to pry their kids away from screens you know, might be saying to that comment, good luck with that. And
yeah,
by the way,
of course, I've got teenage daughters,
right,
too.
And you're a guy who loves the screens.
Absolutely.
And what's on the screens, what you do for a living. But as you've said, I want to go back to this idea that for a certain people in this young generation, these films are more than maybe some of us knew. I mean,
well, I think there's a powerful identification.
Maybe there's a problem with comparing it with real life events like the Challenger explosion. But you say, you know, maybe it's more valid to look at it as it's their Beatles, you know, it's their Titanic movie, you know, which was so important. But it crosses over into something else, and you see that showing up on online critic sites. Tell us about that.
In the days before the Dark Knight Rises opened, on the movie review aggregation site Rotten Tomatoes, the proprietor shut down the comment boards for Dark Knight Rises because the abuse being doled out to critics whose reviews were less than positive was getting out of control.
Death threats.
Death threats, rape threats. And I have to point out, you know, the Rotten Tomatoes boards and in general the sort of what I call the fanboy culture, there's a very, very loud, vocally violent extreme. And I don't want to be tarring the fanboys, but I think there is a vocal contingent that doesn't know what the rules are, doesn't care what the rules are. They dominate the discourse, and they feel that an attack on a movie they haven't seen is an attack on themselves.
Well, you know, and you say, though, that we don't know who they are because
they have screen names.
They have screen names.
They can hide behind a mask.
Well, which is another thing that is happening in these movies.
Well, it's happening in real life. There's, you know, it's possible to go through the Omniverse, to go through your screen life every day, you know, with various masks.
Which is, again, being just like Batman.
Yes.
Who can put on another. But here's the deal.
And guess what? He's conflicted about it, too.
Well, you know, as you watch this movie, what I was struck with, especially seeing it, you know, the day after Aurora, is the debate between Batman and Catwoman. Batman does not believe in guns.
Oh, yeah.
No guns.
Yes.
And there's a moment in the film where she saves him. I'm not going to give too much away, but she does save him. And she says, your whole gun thing, I'm not sure I agree with you on that. And she saves him with, you know, firepower.
Right.
Right there on the screen, we saw the issue that people are debating today, and Batman comes down on the side of no guns.
Yes, yes. You know, I have to say, as superhero movies go, this is one of the most complex, one of the ones that gets into the debate about how we deal with the things in our world. It's a smart movie, and I think it's no coincidence that the passions around this movie do not rise to such an extent around The Amazing Spider-Man or The Avengers. Everybody loves The Avengers, but it doesn't seem to attract the mania.
Do you want to see the industry do anything, Tiber? Would it just be kind of fatuous to have a commission to look at something? Is it just...
No, I don't think the industry can do anything. I don't think government can do anything. I think parents can do something. I don't think people should be taking children to that movie. I think that's a problem. Mm-hmm. You know, Christopher Nolan could lead a conversation. He's a smart guy. I think people in the entertainment industry need to have a conversation among themselves about what this world they're building is and what it does and how people react to it. But it's the consumer. It comes down to the consumer. It comes down to the people who are living in this world and using this world and paying for this world. How much reality do you want and how much fantasy do you need? And really, it should be the other way around. But, you know, who am I to say?
You are Ty Burr.
I am Ty.
Terrific column.
Thanks,
in
Robin.
The Boston Globe. We'll link you to it at hereandnow.org. Ty, thanks so much.
Sure. Thank you, Robin.
And I'd love to know what you think about this. Thoughts at hereandnow.org, on facebook.com/hereandnowradio, at hereandnowrobin, at hereandnow for your tweets. We'd love to hear from you. Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Robin Young. Please join us to see what the week brings. Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Find over 200 job openings at mathworks.com.
PRI, Public Radio International.